Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wrestle me, mate.
Oh, Peter.
Oh, what?
How have you been?
I've been to London to see the Queen.
Oh, that reminds me, I've got a mouse in my house.
Oh, you got a mouse in your house?
Yeah.
Oh, Mark, what's he up to? What's the mouse he up to?
He does a lot of rustling.
Rustling around.
And the other thing he loves is just to dart about at the very periphery of my vision.
Yeah, why do they always inhabit the periphery of your vision, thinking that it might be like some drugs you took in the 90s coming back to haunt you?
How are they so aware of like the very limit of the human eyeball?
They never right in front of you, are they?
No, yeah. They always sort of just go, I'm gonna give him 2%. Like that. Amazing how something so small can dominate so much of your life and thinking.
I'm surprised that hasn't been like a fiend story. Like, you know, the fiend has been enslaved by this horrible little mouse that's taunting this devil man.
It's quite a nice... No one's ever done that where they've done like the Son of Sam. Son of Sam is also a fucking great name for a wrestler.
Yes.
Here, please welcome the Son of Sam.
Hello, everyone.
enough time has passed that I think you could get away with that and it would seem more like a cultural like pop reference rather than reference to a man who shot a number.
Bring back the Twin Towers. That's
everybody's dream, Pete. But I would like to see a wrestler who is given instructions by a dog. or a mouse.
Yes. It'll be a little bit like the Raw general manager or the computer that Terry what's ever her name has had.
Alexandra York had Terry Taylor.
I think that would be cool.
It'd be good to have like a mouse as a wrestling manager.
In a little suit, a little CGI mouse. Like really bad. If you can do augmented reality, you should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
I mean, I like the idea that wrestlers will be all like, you know, I'm going to beat you because I need to be in the main event to afford some cheese. It would always come back to the idea they're being manipulated by this mouse.
Yeah, but only they can see.
You know, we talk about what we're going to do after WrestleMania. You know, there is a part of me that goes, promotion. Promotion is probably it. And if I said, look, I've had difficulty putting the show together, but the main event, there's a mouse managing. I reckon people would go, I am going to come and see that. What?
Put that on a, you know, like you see like the like wrestling school kind of shows that you see in like, certainly see it in my town, Southend, in an old church hall or something. Just have like these kind of like lads who are clearly about 5'6".
Yeah.
But they're hench. And they're on the card and there's an odd woman in there, there's an odd young woman there. And they just have a little mouse with a hat.
Yeah.
And howdy, it's Jack the Mouse.
It's Mr. Artemis, the world's first managing mouse.
Managing mouse,
And it'd be good as well if you could like fit it with a sort of like a voice chip. Like quite a big one. And just whenever they came over and went, well, Mr. Artemis, your boys did well today. You must be pleased. What's
you sort
next?
Of kneel down with a microphone and it's just in there. So it's just going,
and go, fuck off. Don't want to fucking talk to you.
I think he just said, come. This mouse just keeps talking about come.
Here's a list of celebrities that I believe are gay.
No, stop the mouse.
Stop it, Artemis. Artemis. Terrible.
Number one, Rylan.
Oh, it sounds like a bit. It's fine. Keep it going.
Number two, Tom
Cruise. No. Cut him off. So look, this is WrestleMania. obviously, this is what you've just heard is WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But this is the most recent WrestleMania. It's from this year.
Yes.
WrestleMania 37, night one. Two, rather. The second match, Pete, is going to be...
Second match?
In fact, before we get to the second match, there is a little... what's it called? A vignette where we have Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan. And you can see with the two of them, Titus is beginning to want to distance himself from Hogan. Now he sees he's still toxic.
Yes.
And Hogan is very keen to look like he and Titus are really good chums and are just having a normal time
just
out.
Just hanging out. Best friends.
Just hanging
Best
out.
Best friends forever.
Eric Bischoff is there as well.
Yes.
And in comes Bayley. Bayley, the most important performer in my eyes of the lockdown period. The person who really clicked and really took her career to the next level in the non-audience era, who is rewarded for carrying the company on her back during that period by not being given a match on either night of WrestleMania.
Being given skits. Was she injured? What's going on?
Injured at this time. No, right. It was just a decision. And they slightly put her in the vignettes almost to go, look, she really should be on the card. But you're going to be at WrestleMania, Bayley. You'll just be backstage. You'll be dressed as a sort of middle-aged, sort of psychic? Sort of
it's like a talk show horse kind of thing. Yeah.
Sally Jesse Raphael.
Right, okay.
You know, sort of character. She'd been
looking like her own agent.
Looking like her own agent. Yeah. Exactly like that. Unfortunately for her in this bit, she gets quite tangled up with a pair of glasses and a big necklace. And she's doing that classic thing, which is you're trying to sort it out without being able to look at it.
Yeah.
And
you can't get it down there.
There comes a point where you just have to go, do you know what? Leave it. No one's noticing it. You're making more of a big thing by trying to solve this issue. It's only you that needs it solved. But they are talking. Eric Bischoff is selling his own podcast.
Yes.
Amazing. They do it with RVD a bit later, but they allow the Hall of Famers to just come in and basically go, here's a product I'm doing independent of your company I'm going to happily talk about.
RVD just comes out with some rolling papers.
His rolling papers, yeah. it's quite funny with RVD. Obviously, there was a point a few years before where he was the Universal, well, not Universal Champion, the WWE Champion, the Undisputed Champion. And he was caught in a car that smelt very heavily of marijuana while he was the champion, and they pretty much decided, well, we've got to get the belt off him. Mm. You would think that...
Oh, but he forgot where it was. He forgot where it was, man. Oh, man.
Oh, and then the policeman was like, how did the car get up here? And they looked down, and they were floating! the one thing about that is, like, you would think, well, Vince McMahon would be furious about that. His champion of WWE, you know, gets caught with obviously marijuana stinking in the car, and it becomes a news story. And like all of these things, the more you annoy Vince McMahon, the more he goes, I like this guy.
Yeah.
And Rob Van Dam has since spoken about how much, you know, Vince McMahon will pay tribute to him and just sort of go, there's been no one like RVD. He was unique. He was a remarkable superstar. And it's a really odd thing. So again, he comes out and he's like, oh, remember that time when I really derailed everything, and instead of having a long run as a champion, you know, you had to basically suspend and, you know, strip me of the belt.
Yeah.
You know, now you're just allowed to sell your rolling papers. And I know there's been a certain amount of decriminalization across the states with that. But it is funny how Vince McMahon is just like, you know, the people who cause him the most problems, he has always got time for.
The people who sort of make it easy on him, they give him a talk show gimmick. Give her a talk show gimmick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I imagine that as soon as John Cena moves on from WWE, Vince McMahon will just like, we're never having that guy back. You know, why is that? There was something about him I'd loathed, which is that he was professional, courteous, did everything I asked.
I'll
never have him back through it. Yeah. The odd thing about this is when they have Bayley with these guys, they have a thing where they're trying to brush her off, and she's sort of saying, Eric, you should get on your podcast, one of the best women performers of all time. And he's like, yeah, you know, Bianca Belair. Yeah, Becky Lynch. And she's like, hello.
Yeah. But she's not playing her wrestling character there. She's playing something else.
Yes. I don't know what it is. Sally Jesse Raphael, sort of like a woman who sells dream catchers, a sort of weird woman who works in your office.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. They just basically give her the brush off anyway. Mm. And they're like, no thanks. And they all sort of say, let's go and look at Hulk Hogan's boat.
Confusing.
I get worried about what that name of that boat would be.
Not registered with the harbour.
That's one of the 8 words you're not allowed to have on your boat, sir. And I look.
What if I put a 1 in there instead of the I? The only eye.
A one there and a three there. The problem with this thing is you are absolutely mugging off your actual star who is going to be there the day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they did exactly the same thing the night before with the NWO in a little thing I'm not sure we even talked about, where they're all like giving each other two sweets and she does it and they all refuse to do it with her and she's left hanging like an absolute ball bag.
Yeah.
And in this bit where they just sort of are like, you know, like want to speak to you and everything. What are you doing? This is just such a simple route 101 booking. You don't get one of your big stars and have two retired people and someone who doesn't actually wrestle anymore sort of go, you're an absolute dweeb. You know, it just boggles your mind. It really does.
Then black oil comes out of her head.
Hulk Hogan running. Oh man, the last thing I need is a load of that coming out and having to go out there. People will think I'm up to me old tricks. Number two is for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles held by Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, who take on Natalya and Tamina Snuka.
Bad girls.
They won their the gauntlet match at the previous night's WrestleMania to come through here, which again emphasises how much more exciting this match would have been had it been the Riot Squad of Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, two young performers, who look sensational. The outfits they had on, you know, as the Joker and Harley Quinn sort of had a theme rather than just being your normal clothes. This is a weird one. You know, they were young and natural baby faces, the Riot Squad. They would seem to be the perfect people to put against the killer tag team of the violent and sort of, you know, quite clumsy Nia Jax and the former UFC fighter, Shayna Baszler.
Yeah.
And instead, you get two people who are very similar, really. You get Tamina, who is big and strong, and then you get Natalya, who is a good technical wrestler and quite a sort of, you know, rough and tough wrestler. It's a weird one, this match, because I ended up really quite enjoying it. I thought it was much better than I remembered. There was a very odd thing that happened within the week of this WrestleMania, which is Tamina went from being someone who nobody really thought anything about, who'd been with the company for years and years and years, to suddenly becoming almost like a sentimental favourite, where people felt that she'd been there for so long and never really been given a title and never really been given an opportunity, that people began really getting behind her to the point that ultimately they would give them the belts. And it was a very sort of like well-received storyline. In this one, it's not quite there yet, and what they look like really is, I don't know, just two veteran tag teams.
It just seemed weird. Tamina was back wrestling, and I guess they needed someone who could sort of slam Jax a little bit. I can't really sort of figure out what was all going on.
I think the crowd legitimately don't really warm to Nia Jax, and I think when you have someone like Tamina, they set it up slightly. They talk about this. They sort of go, at one point, I think Nia Jax sort of says, you know, come on then, you know, I'm King Kong. And Corey Grave goes, well, Tamina's Godzilla. There was at the time King Kong versus Godzilla was out.
Right.
And that is the thinking behind it, where people are going, and people will be wearing the T-shirts that say Team Godzilla, you know, in a picture. And it never quite gets that point. But I think they were trying to make something out of it that, again, the simple booking would be you just have a really, really nice young tag team who the crowd are behind, who seem to be up against imposing odds. That seems like an easier story to tell and a better one at WrestleMania.
Than this,
you know. That said, I mean, it's not a bad match by any means.
No, I enjoyed it. It ran a little long, but I think most WrestleMania matches run too long anyway. But
yeah,
if it was like 4 minutes off, 10-minute match, I think that would have been a bit tighter. But yeah,
you can slightly see with some of the later matches that come up is what you need in WrestleMania matches. You need something you don't see week to week. And this, to me, felt like a match that didn't have anything particularly special. There weren't really any sequences that were new or original, and it is just a case of going, oh, we'll get there. But, you know, good heat. And
Baszler's got some lovely knees.
Baszler is really, really good. A very underrated performer within WWE. I think everyone admits that, you know, she is very, very good in the wider world. Within WWE, she cannot catch a break.
Right.
And she is really, really good. It's a good ending, this, with her, you know, tapping out Natalya with her sort of sleeper hold, where she's the legal person. they mention that on commentary. They kind of go, Nia Jax is in the, you know, I think, well, I can't even remember what she's in. Don't think she's in a sharpshooter, but she's in a submission move. And they kind of go, Shayna is the legal woman. Mm. But I imagine if you were watching it, that didn't come across. And you would just go, well, why was that allowed?
What was that?
And that does make it a bit flat. The women also come out, and sometimes they do this at WrestleMania, where they will have makeup put on for the one time in the year that's different from how they normally perform.
Yes.
So Nia and Shayna both turn up with sort of like glittery eyes and things. I just wish some of the blokes would do that.
Yeah.
That Kevin Owens would come out with like a glittering diamond beard. Magic.
Make an effort, lads.
Come on, letting the side down. Talking of Kevin Owens, he's up next.
He's up next, isn't he?
In a little match against Sami Zayn.
He's gone mad.
He's gone mad.
He's gone mad.
Sami has gone bananas. Largely, I believe, because on his Twitter, he is very liberal. He supports a number of causes, including, you know, helping aid get to Palestine. Mm. He is a Syrian, so he's worked very strongly with a lot of Syrian refugee agencies and helping with medical provision there. And I think WWE looked at that and just went, this guy is an absolute hateable hipster. So they dress him as Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
And they basically go, why don't you become like all liberals and you're obsessed with unfairness.
Yeah.
And you're all like, oh, everyone's against me. I was watching this, like, I would actually watch it. And I was thinking about the same time, this would have been Trump. And these are very Donald Trumpian sort of ideas.
The world is against me. This is very much not what it would be like.
You know, you saw him. He didn't allow me to do that. You know, no one's giving me a fair deal. This is all lies. You're all against me. And I think had Vince McMahon realised that that was a Trumpian thing, he absolutely 100% would not have gone through with this mocking of it. They just reframe it as Sami being a mad liberal. The two of them, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, had a long, long and really involved feud that goes back basically a decade through the independents, when they were the masked wrestler El Generico, in Sami Zayn's case, and Kevin Steen. And the two of them were a tag team. They broke up. They had violent, you know, feuds that were at a level that really, I don't think you'd often seen on the independent scene.
Yeah.
So they have spent a vast amount of their careers together and often in opposition. This also is the first match that ever took place at an NXT takeover that was replicated on a WrestleMania.
Right.
So they had already met on an NXT takeover special. Again, part of their storied constant feud. And this is the first time that one of those NXT matches had actually made it to the grandest stage of them all. This again felt to me like the one match on this night that is going for you internet fans.
Yes.
You know, or you get your Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. And this is the first time that one of those fans, you know, big matches has been given that has actually, I think, worked. That has produced something that the WWE would go, actually, the internet fans weren't wrong there.
Yeah.
We won't be doing that again. Annoyed. But yeah, out comes Sami Zayn. There was elements, actually, I found in this of Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker.
Yes, okay.
Where he's got that very sort of like, you know, can't you see? And he's all laughing. And it was a little bit sort of liberal incel.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's kind of, I mean, they don't really specify which, you know, theories he's kind of a conspiracy theorist on.
Mm.
But it just makes me laugh because a lot of the crowd you would probably presume probably have some pretty strong ideas.
I imagine all of the things that like they were like conspiracies. Sami Zayn sort of goes, I believe Sandy Hook was real. And everyone goes, he's mad. absolutely loopy. The incorporation into this of Logan Paul as well.
Yes.
Not seamless, but Sami Zayn is just on Twitter going, hey, Logan Paul, you might be interested to know there's a conspiracy against me. Check out this video. And Logan Paul sort of goes, oh, yeah, very interesting. Thank you. And that was obviously their way of just going, well, we need Logan Paul in something. We've signed him up to be in. He's a big name.
We've got nothing else to do.
And so he becomes involved. Hmm. It falls out with Kevin Owens, where he says to Kevin Owens, you don't believe there is a conspiracy and there's a conspiracy. And again, as you say, I'm never quite sure what the conspiracy is, but I can't work out whether that's bad writing or whether that's good writing, whether you're just like...
Because you would sort of end up alienating people, because there's probably a lot of people in your crowd who actually do have strong opinions about steel beams,
etc. And if he's supposed to be paranoid and mad, then you just basically go, well, what if he's paranoid, but he can never say what it is because there's nothing?
Yeah.
You know, he's just gone nuts. Who knows? Maybe I'm giving them too much credit there. I would say the summing up video in this WrestleMania is a lot better than having watched it over 4 months.
Right, okay, yeah.
Where it was continuous and tiring, yeah, and boring and Sammy's really outstayed as well.
Red carpet premiere, yes, that was coming.
Of his video that he'd made that was... I mean, it was... These things are fine, but there is a part of me that kind of goes, wouldn't it have been good to just go, we've been fighting all over the world for 30 years. You know, why? Well, let's do it on the biggest stage of them all. That, to me, seems to have more of an interest and a hook than anything else that's a bit more complex. They bring out JBL. He's going to be on commentary. I presume, in case there's a need to bash the hipsters, liberals, the pinkos, the young, then JBL will be able to do that. But he actually does quite a good job here. And again, it's a reminder just how bad the commentary team is on this this particular WrestleMania. They are not interested in this show in any way.
Somebody sort of says, I can't, it might be not Cole. Who's on?
Byron Saxton, could be Samoa Joe.
Yeah, well, someone gets
Corey
it wrong.
Graves.
Someone gets something wrong and he goes, that was a Michinoku driver to save him from the internet. He's gone, yep, I got a lot of that yesterday.
Is that Cole? Yeah, right? And Corey Graves, correct him on it. Mm. The reality is, I think he's referring to the Canadian destroyer pile driver that Bad Bunny did, which he just went, what is that?
Oh, and right, it's well, that's what happened yesterday.
A familiar move. You know, this is really good. Mm. I had not had any memory of this being as good a match as it was.
It's the thing that literally my highlight of the show of the match was Owen throws Zayn onto the ropes.
Yeah.
And he just kind of goes all rigid and does a loop-de-loop. And I was like, that is amazing. One of the best moves I've ever seen in my life.
There's some bits about this which are what you always should do at WrestleMania. So Owens comes out wearing his fifth KO Mania top, his custom T-shirt, which I like. It's a special occasion. It's only once a year. It doesn't cost a lot of money to get a T-shirt made. But Sami Zayn comes out just completely stoked with energy. He is fired up. He is just ready to explode. Even his introduction of Logan Paul in this, he is great on the microphone. And he does it in a way that, you know, he knows that Logan Paul is going to be booed. Mm. And he plays up to that by just sort of saying, I want you to show him respect. He's my guest. You know, that subtle heel getting the reaction that you want. I thought it was really, really good. I think that Logan Paul is really good in this as well. Mm. They bring him down and he does everything that's needed, which is he reacts to the match. He's not doing anything sort of major. He's not drawing attention to himself. It's just a good booking.
Yeah.
And they put him with the right people. What they also do that's really, really good is they do some moves that you never see outside of shows like this.
Mm.
And one of them is, there's a brain buster that Zayn does on Kevin Owens onto the apron of the ring. So the hardest part of the ring. And it's just one of those things that you look at and you just go, I mean, if you did that on any other show, you are an idiot because, you know, you've really damaged yourself and it's really sort of like hard to protect yourself. But it just feels like that's a WrestleMania move.
Yeah.
You want to see that level of stuff. And it reminds you how many of the other matches you've seen, they don't have those moments where people are going, let's go for broke.
Mm.
You know, and they really do it here. Yeah, Cole is the Blue Thunder Bomb, he says, and Corey Graves has to go, it's a Michinoku driver. Sami Zayn did routinely use the Blue Thunder Bomb, which is almost like it's a back suplex where you then spin someone around and they land in a powerbomb position.
Mm.
What would have been funnier is if he hadn't used it very often and it had come up later. You'd be like, oh, someone was given a list of the moves before and doesn't know their arse and their elbow. I'd not remembered this being great fun, this match, and it was.
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
It really was. There's no downtime.
Very solid.
Big moves. Just a big indie hit list of thrills and stupid big moves and no real psychology other than just going, let's go out there, throw the kitchen sink at it and have a good time.
Have I seen a lot of women referees in WrestleMania?
No, I have. You haven't, no. This is, I think, Jessica Carr. Is that?
I don't know, to be honest. That's a lady.
I thought that was the murderer for a minute there. No, but it's a different
Maxine,
name.
Maxine Carr.
That's Maxine Carr. It's Carr. Not Maxine Carr.
Was she a murderer or was she an accessory to a murder?
Oh, yes. I think that's probably an important distinction to make.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
For months ahead of this match, Kevin Owens had been talking about how he was going to jump off the pirate ship at WrestleMania. And it was 100% a thing that he built and built and built and built and built. And on the day, after a year and a half or 2 years since the pandemic had started, they basically said the weather conditions are so bad, it's not safe for you to jump off the pirate ship.
Oh, really?
So they had to, they couldn't do it. He would have to sort of do a different replica of that a bit later on. By the end, you have Logan Paul comes in and Sami Zayn has
he's
lost.
He's the worst, isn't he?
Is he?
I
don't know who he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is the worst, but I mean, it's just, you just sort of look at him and go, you've got nothing for me.
I sort of only know him through his appearances in stuff like wrestling.
Yeah,
and,
okay,
and I understand what he does.
Right.
I'm not like a high court judge. you know, I understand what he is and what he does, but
yeah.
What does he do? What does he talk about? Just like, anything.
He's just kind of like, I think he got his sort of break in the Vine thing. Obviously, his brother Jake Paul has kind of taken the boxing thing and kind of run with it a little further than him. But you know, he did that thing where he went to Japan and filmed a person who's killed themselves and everything, and you know, and was silly about it and stuff. So he's like the Gronk.
Yeah,
fine.
Got you.
Nothing going for him.
The thing about him that they do very well is they play on the fact that everybody dislikes him.
Mm.
And what they do is they also play on the fact that the idea the WWE had to agree with him to get him in.
Yeah.
So what he does is he has a bit where he sort of, you know, Sammy sort of says, why are you talking to Kevin Owens? You know, you're part of the conspiracy. And Logan Paul ends up pushing Sami Zayn.
Right.
And the crowd, you can tell they're like, oh no.
No.
No, have they done it so that we're supposed to cheer him and Kevin Owens is going to like point at him and go, yay. Or that was the thing they agreed. He's like, I will come to WrestleMania, but I have to push over the guy and then it ends there. And you can see that the crowd are really unsettled with this being the end of it. And as Logan Paul holds up Kevin Owens' hand, Kevin Owens just looks at his wrist like, you have the temerity to touch me. And he just keeps on looking and the crowd begin cottoning on, going, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. When Owens finally hits him with a stunner, the crowd, they cheer. So he does the kick for the stunner. And normally on a Stone Cold stunner, you kick and stun and then the roar would be as the stun happened. On this, he kicks and they're cheering on the kick. They're just like, they are so relieved. It also suggests it might be quite a slow stunner, which Kevin Owens needs to work on. If the crowd can cheer when you do the kick, it's not fast enough. We then go to Riddle backstage with the great Carly Pete. Isn't it good to see him again?
How was Carly ever a policeman? Because to be a policeman, you have to like talk and think. And he doesn't seem to be able to do either of those things.
An excellent Netflix series about the Indian police force investigating serious crime.
Right.
Have you seen it by any chance?
Is it the one that's like, because they've run out of crimes in the West and now they're sort of going, what have we got in India?
It's like a cold, it's not even a cold case, it's just crime scene investigation.
Yeah, okay.
Delhi, basically. And you'll notice that everybody involved in the making of it is got a name like, you know, Tristram Poles Mills.
Right,
you know,
they are really,
and that's all the way from the director all the way back to basically the editors. Oh, everybody is properly Tristram, you know, Scott Wanton.
They're the men who follow Ewan McGregor and Charlie Borman on their motorbikes.
Charlie Borman. If I had a list of people who I think I would least get on with, I think he may well be on the top of that list. The thing behind it, though, is what you suddenly realise is you realise being a policeman in India is quite different from being a policeman in Britain, for example. Mm. And actually, there's a bit where they talk to suspects in the murder of a sex worker, and they talk to suspects, and what it involves doing, they sort of go, did you do it? And the guy goes, no, I didn't, sir, I swear on my life. And they go, did you do it? And they go, no, I didn't, sir, I didn't do it. And they'll go, I am tired of your saucy ways, right? They would just go, right, the camera crew can leave because you and I are about to discuss this further and it will involve a beating for you, sir. And they sort of go, please do not beat me, sir. And they'll go, the beating is about to happen. And the camera crew just leave. Right. That's it. And then they'll come back and they'll go, so it turns out, actually, he did have an alibi 4 hours later. So I think Carly, when they say he was a policeman, I sort of go, until I watched that series, I was like, in what possible capacity would he be a useful policeman? Oh, I've suddenly seen it.
He comes through the door. I did it.
So this is stage two. You have told us nothing we want to know. I mean, everyone that they've done the beatings for has turned out to be totally exonerated, which a terrifying vision. But here is Carly. The other thing to know about Riddle at this point is Riddle is well associated with the intake of marijuana.
Yes, okay.
He says bro, so you can tell that he's a cool dude.
Likes the sense of media.
Yeah, he's got a scooter as well.
He's got a little scooter, because he's a child.
Because all that brain has made him childlike. All that brain damage from the herb. He's just a good time guy.
Mm.
And he has a tattoo on the side of his body, which he's had ever since he was a very young man, of a smiling mushroom.
Cool.
It is a Mantia muscaria, aka magic mushrooms. Right. So he has this giant smiling mushroom.
Oh, lord.
And no one's ever sort of said, well, that will hamper your career. They're just like, fine, we'll give you a pot smoking gimmick. You advertise your magic mushrooms on the side. You're basically Camden Market. With Carly at this point is a guy, I think he was called Ranjan Singh as a character, but his real name is Dave Kapoor. And Dave Kapoor is one of WWE's main writers of the shows like Raw, SmackDown, and obviously then the pay-per-views. And there's a absolute crystallization of the lack of thought that the writing team put in, which is completely boiled down in Ranjan Singh stroke Dave Kapoor here, which is, he is with Carly. He is Carly's handler stroke translator. He did that in various points of Carly's run. Mm. And Matt Riddle comes over and instigates a conversation with Carly. And as Carly's translator, Ranjan Singh basically just goes, okay, I'm going to leave you two now, and off he goes, right? They never explain why the translator would wait to actually have to translate something to use as the moment to go, I'm going now, bye. The one moment where it would make sense for him to be there, he just goes, going. Yeah. And I really thought to myself, that is absolutely 100% confirms that Dave Kapoor is the writer of Raw. Because only in that circumstance, where you could do something that would make sense, or you could do something that makes no sense, does that guy go, I will do something that makes no sense. Well fucking done. Riddle starts talking to Carly about doing some kind of scooters branding. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ.
It's so rubbish, isn't it? It's just,
and Jesus, he talks about what big hands he's got.
It's just like improv. It's just like, will you sponsor my scooter? Yeah.
I got a ladders business. What if we put the scooters on the top of the I need a ladder to get up to speak to you. In fact, do you have a ladder? It's hard. He says to him, "You've got big hands," and I found myself really disappointed. Going, why is that not being put over your head?
Yeah.
Why aren't you going, you got big hands, dude? You know, put your big hand on my face. You know, do something. If he's a fucking stoner, have it. But he's talking about this branding. In comes RVD and just basically sort of says, you need good branding like I've got with my RVD rolling papers.
But the RVD rolling papers is kind of like, it's separate to the other bloke's obsession with weed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they never sort of go... Riddle never seems like he's into the
first thing you'd have thought with that is you'd go, let's get Riddle. He bumps into RVD. They say, why don't we hang out later? Suddenly you've got Carly behind them. They're like, are we busted? And he's like, maybe I'm going to make a big doob. And everyone goes, yeah. It's so easy.
Not sponsored by India's police force.
Where there's death penalty for that where I come from in the Kashmir region. Oh, bummer, dude.
We don't have the internet.
Why don't we get to talk about branding? We
keep turning it off.
Yeah, what's the it's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
A big mess. Yeah. This is the Hall of Fame class, who we will be meeting a little bit later in the show.
Yes.
It does seem amazing that they can't get something as simple as having two stoners in Riddle and RVD come together. They can't do it without buggering everything up.
No, the thing that gets me is like they've not even tried to link it.
No, not at all, not at all. We then go through to the US champion Riddle's match. He is taking on a Sheamus.
Now, Sheamus. Kind of like a miserable kind of Roy Keane of the roster. He's like he's just bored and angry.
He's got a sort of cross between Peaky Blinders and a sort of Alvida Zane pet sort of shtick going on. Something about the lighting as he comes down, though, does make it look like the intros for 2K22. You know, it's got the lighting is weird and it's almost given him a defined outline and he looks like he's been rotoscoped. I found that. I watched it a few times. I was like, I
like it.
Oh, I'm still contact high from the RVD section. I just brill. No idea why they got rid of Riddle's first name as well. So he comes out. He's the US champion. His name is Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
But they boiled it down to this one name thing. I can't work out whether they think that makes it seem more like a superstar, but it's quite reductive.
Because it's, and the Riddle, sorry, Piddle Whittle, you know, it's just like, ugh.
When Ring of Honor first started in 2002, the independent scene had loads of people who had single names.
Yeah.
And they were slightly arbitrary, but you'd get used to them. But it meant there were loads of wrestlers like Ruckus and Delirious and Izzy and Angel Dust.
Yeah, it's nothing to grab yet. Put your hat on, really,
Spanky,
is it?
You know, and they are just sort of, I don't know, it just, I preferred it when it was Antonio Cesaro to Cesaro.
Yes.
I certainly preferred it when it was Matt Riddle to Riddle.
But you like to think that Cesaro kind of earned it a little bit, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know,
by the end.
You get doves when Riddle comes in and kicks his flip-flops off. And again, for me, there is a slight thing about going, if it's larger than life, a wrestler kicking his flip-flops off. That was a big thing that everyone did in the indies, and it was hilarious. You'd be in a small room, overcome the flip-flops, someone catches them, they throw them back. Hilarious. When you're doing the flip-flops things at WrestleMania, it seems a little bit like, I don't know, like getting your winky out.
Mark, I don't think I've ever seen the flip-flop thing, and I thought it was the coolest thing at WrestleMania. I thought it was so cool.
You must have been on some super strong drugs, man. Let's just quickly have a brief look at Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle, He has a legitimate MMA background.
Yes.
So he was on
he
the...
He seems too nice, that's the thing.
He does.
He's doing his character too well.
That's the softening, isn't it, yeah. Of the mind-altering drugs.
He's a big wet fish.
He was in the Ultimate Fighter Series 7 at the age of 22. Mm. He started off with a spectacular knockout win, and he lost in the second round in this tournament, basically, to see who would be given a UFC contract. And the winner of the match he had in round two liked him so much that he bought him an Xbox with the money that he won.
Aww.
So he just seems like everyone sort of goes, he is a little dude. He goes into the UFC in 2003, and he built up a 4-fight win streak, which is quite an unusual and rare accolade.
Yeah.
In February 2013, though, he tested positive for marijuana, and that was his second failed drug test within a year, and he was subsequently fired on the spot.
It seems so ridiculous. And I presume it's kind of like, you know, your boxing license is it's the reason why you're not allowed to do that, but it just seems ridiculous.
Various fighters have argued and said it helps, you know, calm them down after fights, but they also say it's legal in a number of states.
Yeah.
So why shouldn't it be legal within things? But they also say it is not a performance enhancing drug.
Of course it bloody isn't. None of them really are.
No, that's their big point. But I suppose there is that thing of it always looks in sport, if you allow certain drugs, that you are a dirty sport.
Yeah.
If you allow that, well, what else do you allow, sort of thing. And I suppose you do have to have that slight zero tolerance. If you work for a company, you can argue all you like about how marijuana use is, you know, legal in California. If you're driving a bus in Preston and they get you for it, you know, you are done. He had finished his UFC career ranked third in UFC history for takedown defense, which was 89%, and eighth for the total number of strikes landed. Such a young guy, it's an amazing sort of, you know, record to actually leave with. Mm. He would have left with a record of 10-3, but he had a couple of victories were annulled because of testing positive for marijuana.
Right.
So he has an official 8-3 record. He then turned to pro wrestling in 2014. He was one of the guys who took to it quicker than anybody else. The only person he's been compared to over the years is Kurt Angle, for making the transition from, if you like, a legitimate grappling sport into pro wrestling. No, they said that nobody else has been better so quickly. Early on, WWE had their eye on him, but they were always, I think, slightly wary because of the nature of his dismissal from UFC for marijuana. They did, however, help him get booked throughout his career with Evolve and places like that, and they guided him to some degree. He would make his name really in the independent pro wrestling guerrilla, and he's done a number of tours over the UK, became a very big worldwide independent wrestling star. In 2018, he signed with the WWE. He went to NXT first, and he joined the main roster in May 2020. And it's looking at him here made me realize there are very, very few people who have come off the independent circuit over the last 5 years who have managed to make as much of a success on the main roster as Riddle has.
Yeah.
People who you would thought would have been an absolute shoo-in, your Ricochets and your Adam Coles and people like that, they have not passed the if you like, the Sheamus threshold, where they're a solid B star performer and they're presented in that way. There was an allegation that was made against Riddle at the time he joined the WWE main roster as part of speaking out, an event which had taken place during a tour he was making of the UK. He denied the allegations through his lawyer. His lawyer famously released a statement of denial, which had been printed off on a sheet of CD labels.
Oh, I forgot about that. That was one of my favourite
magic.
For the wrong reasons, but one of my favourite stories. Printed on a CD label.
When everybody was like, is this printed on a CD label thing? The guy had put up another one, and it was printed on one that had about 50 labels. You know, the small little labels like you might put on the side of a file.
They're trolling us.
And he basically had to release a second statement just going, everyone is obsessed with this paper. The paper is not the important thing. I just didn't have any plain paper. I don't do a lot of printing. It was a magic thing. The CD labels statement, I believe it was its 1 year anniversary a couple of months ago. And I was waiting for it and I missed it. I'm absolutely heartbroken. Riddle, it is worth saying, he has denied it throughout. WWE did say it was investigating. No report on what happened there, but certainly his career wasn't affected. There were subsequent civil lawsuits brought. One was brought by the Riddle against the person who had accused him. Another was brought by the accuser against Riddle, but both of those have since been dropped. So that is where it remains. Yeah, the match itself, really good match. You know, there's a good belly-to-belly suplex off the top where both of them almost die. That's what I want from WrestleMania. If you're gonna do moves, do ones that you know really could end the whole thing. Very late in the match, there's a bit where Riddle goes for a suplex, can't get it, and then turns it into a jackhammer suplex.
Yeah.
Classic little bit of trolling, that, because Matt Riddle has always really sort of like goaded Goldberg. Right. They got into a Twitter spat. Riddle had done something about how unsafe Goldberg was after that Undertaker match. And Goldberg had reacted furiously to it, really didn't like him at all. You know, Goldberg does not take a little bit of ribbing or a little bit of criticism very well. So over the years, they've had more and more spats backstage and things like that. And this looked like it was Riddle pretending he was unable to do a suplex and then going, of course I can, and doing the jackhammer as a real sort of like, fuck you to Goldberg from the main stage. Sheamus goes up to do a white noise off the top. He slips. And brilliantly, you see Sheamus look back and like, oh, I've got to get back up there. And he just goes, do you know what? No. Let's just do it. And I like it. If things are going to go wrong, you just go, pretend that's what happens in a real wrestling match.
Yeah.
Something goes wrong, you just go on to the next thing. Rather than, you do see him definitely go, I better get up there. Yeah. And he then goes, no, fuck it. And it's the right decision. The end is brilliant. Riddle does a backward somersault off the second rope.
It was amazing.
And Sheamus is there with the brogue kick right in his face. It's wonderful timing, but Jesus Christ, Riddle gets hit so hard that between getting the boot hitting him in the face when he's upside down and him landing on the floor, his mouth is twice the size.
Yeah.
So the camera angle is great. You see him coming off the rope upside down, his mouth fine. Boot hits, and as he's going down, you're like, his mouth is twice the size. It happens in like a tenth of a second, just an amazing sort of thing. At one point, as he goes down, it looks like his tongue is out, like in a cartoon, like, ah.
Yeah.
But it's just the swelling.
Yeah, they thought I'd got that. It's clearly tongue in it. And then the blood.
The blood. That begins dribbling down. look, Sheamus wins this. Probably not the right decision. Probably Riddle could have done with this a little bit more on the grand stage. Sheamus has got to that level where he's such an established star over so many years and such a character that you really get the impression, you know, he's there for life now. He's almost entering his Kane period where it doesn't matter what you do to Sheamus. He doesn't have to win. He's just Sheamus, and he's been there so long that most of the people watching will have grown up with him, and he's like a permanent fixture. And I think, you know, good for him. He does seem to perform better with every passing year, which is a brilliant thing to be able to do as a pro wrestler.
To stick in there and sort of go, look, I know my place in this company.
Yeah.
And to continue.
I think he's the closest parallel that you could see in the modern era to Randy Orton, that he is just a guy who is there, clearly professional, clearly everybody backstage really likes him. Would you want to see 3 hours of his matches? No. But he does seem like an absolute dude. Those last three matches, Pete, I enjoyed a great deal.
Yeah, they were good, actually.
I enjoyed them even more because I wasn't really expecting to enjoy them that much. I mean, if you're going to surprise me, make it a good surprise. I mean, don't wear an Alexa Bliss tiara.
No.
And like drip black stuff.
That is a
certainly
surprise.
Don't brogue kick me on the upside down. The number of times I've told you, Pete, I will not be brogue kicked I'm upside down.
I like doing it.
Hey, look, that is it. I think we are only 3 or 4 matches away, Pete. I think it's three. 3 matches away until WrestleMe can finally be taken out the back of the podcast barn,
shot
through the head using a Sony award if they still exist. In the meantime, look, if you want more, we've got a Patreon that you can get over to. Yes. It's patreon.com/WrestleMe.
If you're listening to this on the Patreon, thank you for supporting us.
We appreciate you so much. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if you weren't supporting us to think, oh, I'm included in that? Well, you're not until you join us.
Exactly.
Once you do, then it is for you. Big kiss, big kiss.
And also get yourself a t-shirt as well. We've got loads of great designs. There's WrestleMe. There's a Lord Alfred Hayes, Ica Pro, not Ica Pro, Servitude Tiger.
Very good job of changing
poster
that.
And
She Been Daughter.
Look,
it's a delight.
Head on over to stackmerch.com. That's STAK merch.com. Cheapshot.com and grab yourself a, and most of them are under 20 quid, which you'd rarely get these days.
I know, so generous of us to take a hit in the hope that people will wear our free advertising. The other thing is, I mean, because we are coming up to the end, if you want to send anything, I'd quite like people to send a little thing as a fictional wrestler. For example, Boutros Beefcake.
Yes.
Just, you don't have to be a wrestler. I don't want them to be clever, really. I want people to just go, hello, this is, and then the name.
Yeah.
And just go, wrestle me, thanks, you've been here for a long time. all the best. Like it's some weird corporate leaving do.
Yeah.
But nothing clever, please. Just keep them stupid.
Absolutely witless shit.
Witless. As witless as possible. Yep. And brief and stupid. And then I might do something with them, I might not. It depends. It depends the quality and the quantity.
That is true.
Yeah.
So but, at WrestleMePod.
Yeah. Yeah. At WrestleMePod, or you can do a show at WrestleMePod.com.
Yeah, that's the email.
And that will get to us. Look, that's it. I'm getting a bit emotional. We're coming to the
Marky
end straight.
Mark.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm hungry.
and there is that as well. That's me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete Star.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.